Good evening. I'm Bob Cohen, and this is Lehigh Valley Art Salon on this 17th day of February. Tonight's guest is author Philip Reese. Phil Reese just last year published a book that I have in my hands, and he has in his now, entitled Blue Eyes on African American History, A Learning Adventure. Appropriately, it comes to us today when we're going to talk about it as part of Black History Month. Philip's book, as I said, published just last year, subtitled A Learning Adventure, in which the teacher reveals himself through the materials he teaches and the other experiences of his life. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, Phil Reese.
Hi, Bob. I just want to say thanks so much for having me as your guest. I really appreciate that. And I've been looking forward to this for the last couple of weeks since you indicated you'd like to have me on the show. And it certainly is. This is going to make my day. Thanks again.
Well, you're very welcome. And it's our listeners who will most benefit from hearing about what you've written and how you came about to write it. Tell us how it is that you wrote this book, which has the interesting title, Blue Eyes on African American History.
Well, since you mentioned the blue eyes part, I knew I wanted to write this book for ever since I retired. I taught, as your listeners probably know, the State University of New York is a very big university with many community colleges that are integrated into the system. And I taught at one of those community colleges in Middletown, New York, from 1967 until 1999. And in my book, it goes into chapter one, gets into the details of how I came about teaching it. And so I knew I wanted to write this book. I wanted to write African-American history, but I also wanted to make it a little more than just dry academic type writing. And I felt I had something I could put into it that would just perhaps make it a little more interesting, perhaps get over a hurdle of some people saying, oh, well, Black history is always written by African Americans. Mm-hmm. Can it be broadened? Aren't there some other folks who would take an interest in this? And I'm one of those other folks. I took a great interest in this. And
now you had 2 degrees, I think,
yes,
by that time,
yes,
in history.
Oh, sure. Before I got the community college faculty position, I had a Master of Arts at Temple University. I went to Temple after military service. I was in the Air Force from 1955 to 1959. And actually, it was my military service where I really came into contact with, Black fellows and other minorities, Hispanics and so on.
You hadn't in your upbringing in Philadelphia?
Absolutely not. I grew up in a part of Philadelphia, the Northeast, and in the 1940s, I was born in 1937, so I don't remember 37 till about 1944 or 45 when I was 7 or 8. And then certain things came into my awareness, my consciousness. About the time World War II ended, I can remember people celebrating that. I also remember women in our neighborhood crying when they learned the news that President Roosevelt had passed away. But getting back to your question, I was at a writers' conference about 5 years ago down in Manhattan, and they broke us up into these little groups, and there were about 5 of us sitting at a round table, and we all discussed the project, what we were interested in doing, and I talked about this, that I wanted to write this sort of memoir, but also the history itself, and with the memoir dimension mixed in. And I said, I'm going to have fun, and I think it's going to be, I can do this, there's no question. I envision the toughest thing will be a title. And this fellow just looked right across the table at me, and he said, how about Blue Eyes on African American History? And, as they say on Big Bang Theory, bazinga. That just, there it was. That was about 6 years ago. That was back about 2005, 2006. And I just came out of that, that conference, that thing, saying, boy, that guy hit the nail on the head. I'm going to do that. And I've had people say, wow, that's an interesting title. And I it is catchy.
And it helped to have a title, didn't it?
Yeah, it's good. For,
now you write the book.
Yeah, right. Then I was over that hurdle, to speak. How am I going to place a title on this? What's it going to be? And so I'm comfortable with it. There's a picture of myself on the cover. You know, maybe that's a big ego trip.
Yeah, but there's a rainbow behind your head.
Right, right, right. I was all for Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, that was nice,
so
yeah.
That's part of it. I think people can, you know, a little bit aware of things, what went down in the 80s and early 90s, probably understand, hey, this guy was probably for Jesse Jackson and what the Rainbow Coalition was all about. And so my wife actually took the picture, and I didn't think this was going to be the cover, honestly. I thought they were going to design another cover, maybe showing people carrying protest signs or something else. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to be on the back cover of my picture. My wife took the picture, my wife Ellen Bell. And so lo and behold, they sent me the galley or the cover, proof, said, if you don't like it, we could change it. I thought, well, there I am. Blue eyes they're there. I'm wearing a blue shirt on purpose to bring out the color of my eyes.
And frankly, it reveals at least the teacher, the pedagogical difficulty or the pedagogical, I don't want to call it a problem, but the situation that you faced. You, up there, in New York State, and the book indicates that it was kind of like by default that they said, hey, we need somebody to teach black history. Who will do it? And you stepped up and you said, I'll do it. But the book itself, it's the subtitle, A Learning Adventure. And I want our listeners to realize that while there's plenty of black history in this, a lot of it, and it goes, all the way through, the 18th, 19th, 20th century, with a lot of factual material chronologically, there's still plenty of Phil Reese, the teacher, and how he's dealing with being the teacher of this material. And then every once in a while, as you said, it's also a memoir in the sense that you go back into your own experience. You talk a little bit about the Air Force, about people who appeared in your life at different times. So it's got a nice flow about it that combines several different kinds of genres in a way.
I'm sure there's some other people who can write a book where they can utilize history, the facts, and then intersperse how they presented those facts, as I do, and then got some feedback from my students, and we kick things around. We discuss things, and I got a great sense of what they had experienced growing up, the African-American students, my black students, and the whites as well. I usually, on average, I got about 17 or 18 students, and maybe 11 or 12 would be African-American. And then I always sort of thought it was interesting because there's always five or six or seven of the white students took the course too. Maybe they took it because they found out I was white and they wouldn't feel threatened or mm-hmm. they'd be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It was great to have a mixed, class of black and white. And I was also the advisor to the Black Student Union, the BSU, for a while, which they then changed their name to Cultural Awareness Club. And then they brought in the Hispanics, the Latino, Latina. And, wow, we had 25 students would meet every week, and we planned trips, Black History Month. We were in Middletown, New York, but the SUNY four-year college up at New Paltz and further up in the Hudson mm-hmm. River Valley was only 35 miles. We'd get a van. I could check out a van, and our club would go up there to hear speakers. Or going to the south, Ramapo College of New Jersey was just down in the vicinity of Suffern, New York. And they would that's where I actually met Betty Chabaz, who, mm-hmm. was
Malcolm X's widow.
Yeah, his widow. And I also met at one of those Ramapo College events, I met Paul Robeson Jr.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was unaware that he spent many years in Russia and learned he could speak Russian and so on. And so, you know, being the advisor teaching this, it was, as you said, Bob, it was a learning experience for
me. How did you deal having, obviously, black students and white students in your classes? How did you deal with issues that came up between them that might have really been used to make some of the points you were trying to make about African history or black American history?
Well, you know, you start, basically you start with how people of African origin came into an English colony, namely Virginia. And we explore that. We looked at this. I present that, how the whole tobacco culture came to be labor-intensive. You didn't have John Deere equipment in those days. And so you needed field hands. And it became very convenient for the white plantation aristocracy of Virginia to have a reliable source of labor that they could control even better than they controlled the indentured servants. The indentured servants were white, and their indentureship on average was just 6 or 7 years. And once they finished that time, they were free. And then they had to, then the white plantation owners had to go buy another indentureship. And they got to the point where they said, what would be easier than doing this?
It was a lot easier just to own.
Just to buy somebody one time, and then the laws gradually evolved where then they had the right to punish. They had the right to buy and sell as they chose. The white males could, you know, impose themselves sexually on black women, and it would never be called rape. And so we had to deal with that. Now, maybe it made some of the white students a little uncomfortable for me to bring that to their attention because they never got that in earlier public school education, as neither did I. All my public school, I graduated high school in 55. We never discussed slavery. We never discussed that you could buy and sell people, that, you know, corporal punishment. And if so, if you killed a slave, too, you didn't. You didn't stand trial for that. And families being broken up when it became convenient for an owner to sell somebody because he had to satisfy a gambling debt or something, you know.
Well, so you weren't experiencing in those classrooms, let's say, a lot of tension and so on. I guess the kids who would choose to take the course, you know, they had an idea that, you know, what the content was going to be. They're not going to be surprised particularly.
Well, that's a good point, Bob. Perhaps some were aware. I think the very first few years, 1970, 71, 72, you're still just coming out of some black, what I would call black anger, you know, of the 60s. And some of the, especially the young guys who, you know, they want to be cool. They want to sort of, you know, sort of present themselves as sort of an activist or a militant or something. Early objection, some of them were quite honest and open. I shouldn't be teaching the course because I'm white. And I said, well, what you're really saying here is that if an African-American GI gets stationed in Germany and then he falls in love with a German culture and he can speak the German language and write it fluently and then he goes on to get a PhD in German language, he can't teach it because he's not German? And I used another analogy. I said, suppose, what about child psychology? Does a child psychologist have to be a parent, have to have children in order to qualify? So, you know, some of these points I made, I got some of my students to realize, okay, academia is supposed to be pursuing the facts, truth, dealing with informing and educating people, and maybe color shouldn't really be in the mix.
My guest is Phil Rees. Phil is the author of Blue Eyes on African American History, A Learning Adventure. We'll be back with lots more questions after this message.
For program support, we thank Jenny Squali, 102 East 4th Street, Bethlehem, serving homemade Malaysian cuisine infused with spices and combined with other ingredients to reflect the various cultures in Malaysia. All food is made fresh. For hours, daily specials, and more information, 610-758-8088 or jennysquali.com.
We're back. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My guest is Phil Rees. who's the author of the 2013 Blue Eyes on African American History. Phil has published this account, not only of his own experience, but offering a real ride through Black American history. You taught this course from like 1970 to 1999?
29 years.
What events during that span of time happened that you could pull right from the daily newspapers and use as you were doing the course?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, well, starting in I was on the faculty since 67, but in 70, of course, Richard Nixon was president. And so early on, we discussed how come Richard Nixon got to be president and discussed a bit of the Southern strategy, the political strategy of the Republicans and Nixon at the time. So that's early on. And then we looked at some of the other events while Nixon was president. For example, in his State of the Union address in 1971, the Black Caucus boycotted. They didn't go to that. And so students said, wow, what about that? And I said, well, they're upset with what Nixon's domestic policies are all about. He was starting to cut back on Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, War on Poverty programs. And so right there in the early 70s, you have that. Then, of course, you have Jimmy Carter as president. And then Jimmy Carter sort of gives some people a little bit of he gets some interest because he appointed Andrew Young.
That's right.
To be the ambassador to the UN. Andrew Young had been elected to be, he was in politics in Georgia. Now I'm having a senior moment here. Was he was mayor of Atlanta or he was a congressman? I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to refresh myself there. But anyway, so people like Andrew Young came in. And then also Barbara Jordan, the Black congresswoman from Texas, very articulate.
Yes, I remember.
She had such a command of the English language, and when she spoke, you listened. You were impressed with her demeanor and how she presented herself and how she spoke. I recall a little bit after that, I can remember this notion of Black English had become sort of current, and some people are kicking that around. And I remember I had an older Black woman in one of my classes, and she just emphatically said to the class this one day, never mind this nonsense. You should all learn. And she almost did speak as well as Barbara Jordan. So she articulated that if everyone here learns to speak as well as Barbara Jordan, that will be impressive. That makes sense to me. That's what she said. And
so,
that was interesting.
So you did have some adult students in your classes.
I did, yes. A funny episode, you know I can get off on a little tangent. I had two older women in my class who invited me to their church. It was Bring a Friend Sunday, so I went to the church. I got there on time and everything, but I had told my then wife I should be home by – the service started at 11. I said I should be home by, 12:30. Well, 12:30 came, and people are still right into the service, and they were still into their, worship mode and everything. And I had to excuse myself. So I left. The next day, one of the women who invited me, she said, oh, Professor Reese, you left a little early. Were you,
is everything okay?
Everything okay, right? She wanted to know. And I said, I told my wife, I said, I had no idea that the service might go on that long. And she said, okay, here's a little something from the Black side of this. I said, what's that? She said, in the Black church, it's sort of okay to be a little late, but you never leave early.
That's wonderful.
And I said, oh, that was so funny. I said, are you serious? She said, that's sort of the way it is. That's and I loved her honesty telling me that. I said, well, look, you get little insights on certain things.
Yeah.
I've picked up on certain things, and I'm not going to go into them on the air here, but way back when I was in the Air Force, for example, I had a crew chief. He was African-American, and his good friend was a crew chief of another crew. And they were lucky. They came back from Korea, and they got stationed at Forbes Air Force Base, Topeka, Kansas. And they were both from Kansas City, Missouri, only about 55 or 60 miles to the east. They went home about every other weekend. So they knew I was a jazz fan. So they said, you want to go hear some great jazz and some Kansas City blues and so on? I said, yeah, really? So look, you're going to be the only white guy there.
Yeah.
And I said, I can deal with that. I said, how about the other folks dealing with me?
Yeah.
They said, well, there's a code. I said, everybody sees you come in with us. They know you're our friend. Everybody's cool.
I said,
see, it's a little something I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so it was great.
Yeah.
I just felt as comfortable as could be in this Kansas City club where I was the only white person.
To get in.
Yeah. It just, and then the music was great, and it was a ball. Nobody gave me a second thought once the music's going.
I want to be sure that our listeners know where they can learn more about your book, where they can buy the book. I do want to say that Blue Eyes on African American History is chock full of history. It's Phil Reese talking about the history, but there's stuff in there about the 1850s, the decade of the 1850s that I had known nothing about, really, really terrific. There's stuff about the Newark Black Power Conference in 1967 that I knew nothing about. There are a lot of real gems in there. So it's full of really great information and well delivered with these sporadic tales that come from Phil Reese's own life and his own past. But tell me where our listeners can find the book, where they can hear about the book.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Well, you can order it on Amazon. That's no problem. You can go to a Barnes & Noble and order it at a Barnes & Noble or online Amazon. And this coming Sunday from 1 to 3, I will be at the Moravian Bookstore. I'm having a book signing.
Oh, good.
At Moravian this coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday, so yesterday was the 16th, that's 23rd.
23rd, right.
Yeah. Phil Reese will be signing his book at the Moravian Bookshop.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's where you can get book. You can get it on you can get it on Amazon. You can order it at Barnes & Noble. And you can see Phil in person next Sunday at the Moravian Bookshop where he'll be signing the book. The book is entitled Blue Eyes on African American History, A Learning Adventure. Delightful and interesting, with lots of stuff that even a fairly well-read person in Black history, not a scholar, would be surprised about. My eyes were opened about the 1850s, which sort of gets, it usually gets a paragraph, and then it's Lincoln.
Good point.
So that was good. And some interesting points of view, too, about the mixed blessing of desegregation with lots of Black teachers losing their jobs.
True. In the South, that's true. Many, many teachers lost their jobs. And one response was in the South, the people who clung to some racist thinking opened up schools. And the private schools, which Black children couldn't attend, and they became known as segregation academies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a Black family and wanted to bring a lawsuit, that became difficult because that was expensive to bring a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, things like this. I've mentioned some of these things. I don't think that. Are just out there in pure academic, parlance.
Well, that's right.
So,
well, this is a very interesting book. And Phil Reese, thank you for coming to WDIY this evening for Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.
Thank you so much, Bob. My pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you. And this is Bob Cohen signing off for WDIY and Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.